Hey guys, welcome to the Paddler's Playbook, a kayak fishing experience, brought to you by Austin Canoe and Kayak and Real Sportswear. On this episode, the guys are joined by Carlos Andreu, General Manager of ACK. The crew give you their top 5 inshore kayaks, inshore soft plastics, and all-time favorite Netflix series. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the paddle.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Podcast Land. I'm your host, Drew Turner. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Lewis, and this is another edition of the Paddler's Playbook. Bro staff, this is going to be a series of episodes coming up that we have named the Top 5. And what we're going to do, they're going to be different than what you're used to. They're going to be different than Milk Crate Confessions. They're going to be different than our interviews. What we're going to do is we're going to do top 5 lists for different things. Every episode that's going to come on, we're going to have, for instance, on this episode, we're doing top 5 inshore kayaks. We're also going to do something fishing related. So like on this episode, we're going to do top 5 inshore soft plastics. And then lastly, we're going to throw a little curveball there, and we're just going to do something that has nothing to do with fishing, has nothing to do with kayaking. So on this episode, we're going to do our top 5 Netflix series that we like to get into. So these are going to be a little shorter. They're going to be faster. They're going to be more to the point. We're not going to get into a whole lot of detail, but we are going to give you a lot of information to go out and make different choices on baits, make different choices on kayaks, rods, reels, you know, all kinds of stuff that have to do with fishing. And we're even probably going to give some food recommendations, some TV recommendations. There's no telling what that last top 5 is going to be where we just go completely off the cuff. But Chris, we have a special guest here joining us for this episode. You want to talk about our guest for this one?
Well, everybody knows our guest for this episode. I mean, this is the man, you know, our buddy from ACK, Carlos Andreu. Hey, how do you say your last name anyway?
It's a tricky one, right? It's spelled like he was an Andrew. It's Andreu.
Hey, yo, I'm going to check this out. So, check this out, y'all. Check this out. Carlos Andreu.
There you go, man.
Yeah. Got it.
Keep it simple.
First swing.
And I'm just going to say Carlos hit. From ACK.
Yeah, man, this is, look, guys, this is our bro, Carlos from ACK. You know he's running the show down there, and he's doing a damn good job at it. Look, these top fives are really going to hit on a lot of things, okay, guys? They're going to bring some information, very valuable information from experienced people. And it's kind of going to be fast and furious because, I mean, honestly, these are going to be 30, 45-minute episodes, and we're trying to get very content-rich info out to you guys as fast and as powerful as possible. So, I mean, the top 5 for inshore kayaks, man, we could honestly talk about that for days upon days upon days, but it's going to be thick and heavy right off the bat. I know Carlos has got plenty of good info on the inshore kayaks. Drew, unfortunately, has been stuck in one kayak his whole entire life. So I don't
that
know.
That is not true at all. I've probably paddled more inshore kayaks than most men on the Gulf Coast. So I could have named about 15 on here.
Can you tell me again, where is the Gulf Coast?
The Gulf Coast. Is that better? But so you guys, we know Carlos a lot. He's been on our Facebook Live before, but there may be some listeners that aren't, you know, up to date with Carlos or know Carlos. So let's ask Carlos the same question we ask every guest that comes on here. First off, tell us about your most memorable fishing experience, or, you know, maybe your first fishing experience, and then tell us about your first kayak and how you got into kayak fishing.
Sounds good, man. Well, I'll keep it very real here. This is not the first catch. I mean, started fishing when I was a kid, and I started kayak fishing almost a decade ago, but I'm gonna say the most memorable catch was 2016, I'm going to say, June 6th. I did in, it was just ice cream, flat water conditions out in, out of the Corpus Christi area. And I did a solo trip offshore, went by myself from Austin to Corpus Christi. It was one of my first ever, I'm going to say maybe my first or second solo offshore trip, which again is not recommended. I felt comfortable, conditions were right, cell phone signal available, and it was just glass all the way to the rigs. And I was, of course, like any other time, looking for, you know, that cobia or that kingfish. Ended up within a few, I don't know, maybe an hour of getting to the rigs, ended up with a 55 plus inch kingfish. There's a picture somewhere out there. And then I hooked on something else that I knew wasn't a kingfish. He wasn't running like as such, and he didn't tire it out after 15 minutes or so. So I knew he was either, you know, a shark or even better, a cobia.
Or a submarine.
So I, or a submarine or a big stingray or, you know, many other things. So, no, I mean, I fought that fish. I just could not see color, so it took me forever. And since I was hoping cobia, I baited that fish. It took me 45 minutes, and I remember posting there on Facebook and everything else. But, yeah, once I saw the fish, it was just the biggest cobia to date. I think it ended up being 55, 56 inches in glass conditions. So, yeah, one of my most memorable catches, man. Was, solo offshore trip
was
on
that. Perfect was that conditions. The cobia that you prayed over once you got it into the kayak?
Yes. That's the cobia that I
remember that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We had a lot of quality time there together as I kind of took, you know, harvested that fish. Yeah, I paid a lot of respect to that fish. I mean, I think more respect than some of the other catches that I've ever gotten. Yeah, it was just a beautiful animal. It was just, again, I think a fish of a lifetime from the kayak. And hell of a fight. So yeah, pretty precious to me, man. I was stoked.
So was it so tired from the fight that it didn't do the normal, you know, cobia going crazy as
Hold
soon
on.
As you lifted it out of the
I
water?
Tell me
how this happened.
I got to answer this because I remember you beating the shit out of that thing over the head.
Well, there is so this is the thing. So there's a little bit of everything, right? First is like, oh, let me fight it like a kingfish, or let me fight it like any other fish and put a lot of pressure. Then when I first saw the fish, I babied. It took me forever, and I had very light drag. So, yes, Drew, by the time he got to the side of the boat, it was done. But you can never trust the cobia, right? So then the other part of the video, and there's a clip there, I did, you know, I pulled the billy club and, you know, put that fish to sleep, and then I pulled it into the boat, and I thanked the fish for all the hard work. So there were many, many stages on that catch. Yeah,
that was a great video. Hey, make sure that you hash that back, you know, put it back, bring it back up on your Facebook page so that people can see that video after we post this.
Sounds good, man.
And we'll put it on the Paddler's Playbook Facebook page too. I'll get a link to it and put it up there so you guys can check it out and see this giant cobia that Carlos is talking about. So that's your most memorable fishing experience. Tell us about your first fishing kayak, because I've come to find out with these, whenever we ask people, it's always probably, it's a funny story for a lot of these. We had one guy, who was it, Matt, that had the inflatable that got attacked by catfish?
Yeah.
That was a funny one. So tell us about your first kayak.
Well, yeah. So this one, funny thing is I was a customer of ACK, and I was renting all these kayaks, and started with the tarpons and the tridents, and then, you know, went for Hobies and pedal drives. I mean, back then it was that or the Mariner Propel, but I could not afford one. So, you know, I just have a few bucks put together and looking to see either it's going to be either like a Pelican Striker, I can't even remember, the Castaways, yeah, kind of thing, or put another $100 more together and buy a Pescador 12, right, the Perception. And it was a weekend, it was my birthday, I think all my family wasn't down in Houston, and that Saturday I was going to go just pull the trigger on the on a Castaway, because that's all I had, and I just wanted to get out. So my girlfriend then, now wife, surprised me. Talked to my whole family. They're like, you know, put a couple bucks together between everybody else. And sure enough, I was granted the opportunity to just go and splurge on what was my first kayak. Yeah, Pescador Pro, Pescador 12 in Ferrari red.
The fastest color.
Yeah, the fastest color, exactly. I mean, it's just standing in the garage and looks like it's moving. So, yeah, that was my first kayak, man. I love that thing. Love that thing.
Now, did your life jacket, did you have a red life jacket to match the Pescador, the Ferrari red kayak?
No, because I don't think they made a Ferrari red life jacket, at least not in the assortment that they were offering. But I actually have a picture. I might even share that picture with you because I do have it on my phone, and I every once in a while, every few years or once a year, I kind of see it, and it's like me standing tall and proud, you know, of me with, you know, with this brown PFD, and I have my little Pelican strobe light, and I have my, you know, $10 fishing aid. I mean, it was just really another memorable experience of getting started in kayak fishing. Yeah, I felt like a total badass.
Oh yeah, man. you feel like a total badass because before you get your first kayak, you're thinking, you know, if I only had a kayak, I would catch so many more fish, and I would fish all these different places, and I'll do some night fishing, and I'll go offshore, and I'll do all this. And then you get your first kayak and you're like, I don't know how to do any of this shit that I thought I was going to do.
100%. It's like, and it
kind I don't of, know what you guys like are talking about.
My life
about.
Is going to change. And it kind of did in many ways, right? Number one, I was introducing to this beautiful sport, and then everything else that came with it. But I just remember like launching the kayak. I felt really like I was part of this clique, right? I belonged now into this group of hardcore kayak anglers. But then again, it was like Pierce Marsh, Skunk, Crystal, what is it? Christmas Bay, Skunk. It was like, okay, I got a learning curve here.
Now, Chris, you said you don't know what we're talking about. Were you like tournament winning right off the bat, or what do you mean?
You know what? I couldn't stand tournaments whenever I first started kayak fishing. I had fished a couple of them back in, I don't know, around 2011. So nearly what, 9-10 years ago, I had fished a couple of kayak tournaments, and I just got turned off by them. It wasn't until about 3 years ago that I got back into tournament fishing. And no, I'm right there with you guys. I had a hell of a time trying to dial in. Now I came from boat fishing, so
sure.
And well, of course, also, you know, shoreline fishing, and I loved pier fishing. I love to go sit. I still do. I love to go sit out on a pier with a six pack of cold beer and just chill out with some bait on the end of the line.
Yeah, but pier and jetty fishing, man, that's ultimate relaxation to me.
Mm-hmm. But it took me, I don't know how long, but many trips to just dial in my craft.
Chris, did you start with, you know, when you jump into kayak fishing, did you start with bait or you went straight into artificial? Because at least on my end, it was, you know, the good old kind of yellow light bait bucket with a bunch of shrimp and just going with that and, you know, chasing the redfish and trying to hook on the redfish. But of course, you know, I was catching a bunch of trash fish in between. And I remember vividly kind of getting better at reading the water. And then one day, I think through the LSKS, right, because, you know, forced into not fishing with bait and just going with artificial and just got it dialed. And just that was another moment where I was like, I got this. So how was it for you?
I did bait with my kids and with my wife. Whenever they wanted to go fishing with me, I would bait for them. But I started fishing with soft plastics probably around – now, I'm not like some of these guys that we talk to. Some of these guys that we talk to, they're like, oh, yeah, man, I was throwing this and that and the other when I was 3 years old. Man, when I was three years old, all I knew of was night crawlers.
Sure.
But – probably around 2000, 2001 is when I got turned on to soft plastics. And the first soft plastic I was thrown for trout. And it was the original Bass Assassins.
Mm-hmm.
A little tout-tail Bass Assassin, which I think most people call them jerkbaits. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just straight tail. And I haven't turned back from every now and then. And it's usually when I'm fishing with family because they don't want to deal with the grind of throwing plastics.
Cast. Yeah. Then a fish is a fish. Doesn't matter if it's a hardhead or a
Now my perch. My daughter, oh my gosh, she's nuts about sight casting now. And she loves throwing topwater lures and she loves throwing crankbaits. So she'll work plastics. My son, he's like, I just want to catch a fish. I don't care how I catch it.
I get it. Yeah.
I was a little bit different. For freshwater, I fished bait all the time because I was trying to catch crappie and catfish whenever I first started kayak fishing. And then I grew up more fishing the surf. So whenever I went down to saltwater, almost all I threw were topwaters and spoons. So that's it. That's all. And now it's kind of different. I don't mind throwing bait in saltwater now, and I throw more plastics and stuff whenever I go freshwater fishing. So, but I mean, this last trip we threw, I mean, I tried to make it. I didn't even bring my cast net. And we were down at Port Aransas. I didn't bring my cast net. We were with Chris Castro from Next Level Fishing. And another a fan of the show, Richard, was down there. And we were about done. And he busted out a cast net. And I was like, oh, yeah, bring that baby over here. He was struggling throwing it. I got it. I threw it. I caught us some bait, and we soaked bait for about the last hour that we were down there. And I actually caught more fish on artificial than I did anything else. But that's how it goes sometimes. Sometimes they just want the artificials. But I was opposite. I started throwing in saltwater, throwing more baits than in freshwater and things like that. So, Carlos, is there anything going on at ACK right now that you want to talk about before we really get going in talking about kayaks and soft plastics and our favorite Netflix shows?
Get into the details. Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a couple of things. So one is, you know, most people should know that we run a bi-monthly giveaway / contest on our website, and we post it all over social. So right now it's as dear to me as we have a sweet giveaway that includes a boat boards Aero HD inflatable sup with a tackle rack, with a cooler, includes the paddle and even the Aero pump. So it's a sweet kit. I mean, it has everything you need. Basically, you just need a rod and add some water to it, and you'll have a blast anywhere you go. So we have it on the main page, on our landing page. You should see, anyone that visits ACK.com should be able to see the boat board giveaway. Or on social, the only thing you need is to join the newsletter, and you have the opportunity to share on your own personal social media network, and that gives you five additional entries. And that's going to go, it's going to run till the end of the month, so there's still some time to go into it. The other part is just a quick update as we continue to go through what is, you know, this whole COVID-19 pandemic, is our stores are still on their curbside only. So just be mindful. I want to encourage everyone to visit the shops, but just call in advance, and especially those that want to visit our new flagship store. That it's a beautiful location. It's inside of the TSR Texas Ski Ranch complex in New Braunfels. Again, the Texas Ski Ranch is a Malibu wakeboard boat dealership. It has a bar, a stage, a cable park to do some wakeboarding. You can do paintball and a bunch of other things, but inside the main building, we have our new flagship store. It's really something to see. So again, just make sure you take advantage of that giveaway, not only for this one that is from Boat Boards. We want to thank them, of course, for working with us, just a key partner of ACK. And just check out the TSR store. Just be mindful that we're still operating on their curbside only.
Awesome, man. And you're talking about the giveaway that you guys are doing. You guys are also sponsoring our giveaway that by the time this episode airs, guys, you'll only have a few days left to enter. and go over to the Paddler's Playbook Facebook page to check that out. We're giving away 3 Engel cooler / dry boxes to the winner. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to post a picture of you and someone special to you as far as a fishing buddy, and then tell us why they're special. And whichever picture has the most likes, they're going to win the 3 coolers, and hopefully they share it with the person that's in the picture with them. I'm going to say that again. Please share one of these 3 coolers with someone that's in the picture with you. And guys, if you're going over to ACK and you're looking at stuff, make sure to use the promo code TPP15. That's TPP15, the Paddler's Playbook 15, will save you 15%. Now, this excludes Hobies, Hobie accessories, and kayaks. But on everything else, you guys save some money with the bro staff. Chris, you got 100%. Chris, you got anything to say before we jump into these kayaks?
No, man, I'm ready to talk yak.
All right, so the way we're going to do it is we are going to start with 5. We're going to start with Carlos. He's going to say his number 5, and then we're going to go to Chris. He's going to say his number 5, and then we're going to go to me, and I'm going to say my number 5, and we're going to count down to 1. Let's just talk about, you know, really quick, maybe some of the features we like about the kayak. If we know the price point, let's talk about the price point. Let's just give some quick details on why that kayak made our top 5. And Carlos, we'll start with you. What is your number 5 best inshore kayak?
Number 5. And again, it's really hard to put him on in order, right, of this top 5. But I'm going to start with the Crescent Light Tackle. The reason why I like that boat, it is a sub 1000 kayak. It is sub 65 pounds. It paddles like a dream. It has, it paddles like some of the old, you know, previews or pre, I'm going to say 2015 kayaks like the Tarpon that just are extremely well paddling machines with an updated seat. So you're high up. Without being super high like some current kayaks, stable enough for you to stand if you have the stability. So sub 999, light, nimble, paddles extremely well, and it has everything you need to have an awesome time on the water. So the Crescent Light Tackle for sure would be my top, my number 5.
All right, Chris, is your number 5?
You know, it's been really, this list has been a pain in my butt for like a week since we started talking about it. Okay, I could have done a lot of research, and I could have gone out there and like Carlos, you know, he's got like real numbers to throw at you guys. Well, you know, my number 5, okay, and this is based off of kayaks that I've actually used and used a lot. I'm not going to throw some stuff at you guys that I haven't actually put my rear end in and used.
Well, let's just assume, and let's just agree that, I don't know if don't want to put you on the spot, Drew, but every single kayak that we're going to be talking about is because we've been on it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And for me, every single kayak on this list I've owned, and I'm very biased, and that's the same thing you're going to get from your Facebook searches. But this is coming from experience from 3 guys who have paddled a lot of inshore kayaks. This isn't a guy telling you that this kayak is the best, and this is his second kayak that he's ever owned. I'm sure between all of us, we've either owned or had for an extended period of time 60, 70, 80 different kayaks. I feel confident saying
that.
So, Chris, go ahead.
I'm going to surprise a lot of people. Anybody out there that's listening to this that actually know me, and I'm probably going to surprise the shit out of Drew as well. Number 5, I'm gonna throw down the PA-14.
Oh, wow. Oh, that is a surprise. That is a surprise.
Yeah. All right. It's very capable, okay? What people don't realize is that a PA is extremely capable inshore. Now, it's not going to be a kayak when you get into the skinny stuff, okay? It's going to be more like a poling barge. You're going to have to get your butt up out of the seat, and you're going to have to stand up, and you're going to have to pull that thing around. You're probably going to have to change your position, maybe even pull the seat up. If it's a newer PA with the Vantage seat, you're going to have to lift that seat up and out of the way in order for you to stand in a more stable platform that provides a better poling area. But The PA is super capable, man. And people don't realize it's just as fast as most of those other pedal-driven boats as well. It's just as fast. The PA 12, not so much, but the PA 14 is quick, man.
Super. And it has tons of storage too.
Oh my gosh!
The storage, guys, and the pockets and this the, is the kayak rod holders.
Those of you who have ever talked to me about having a cold adult beverage in a kayak, okay? I know a lot of people may frown upon it, but look, I like my cold beers.
Me too. Nothing. There's yep.
The PA, I like my Bravazis.
I swear the PA is a 12 beer kayak.
It is. It's all we got. And it's, yeah, it doesn't, I get what you're saying. I mean, with many, some other kayaks, you know, a long summer day, you got to choose, you know, like a big cooler and big dry bag and big camera gear. And then you got to start making decisions of what stays behind. With your PA, you have plenty of comfort, plenty of room to just take whatever you
it's
want.
It's an all day kayak.
And it's an all day kayak. Yeah.
When we used to fish these tournaments in Florida, and they were inshore tournaments. Okay. Now, Florida's a little bit different, you know, terrain than what we've got here in Galveston. Galveston's real shallow. Most of the places in Florida, as soon as you get off the shoreline, boom, you're in 3 foot of water in most cases. But we would fish a 12-hour day and a 10-hour day back to back. So Saturday was a 12-hour day, and then Sunday was a 10-hour day. And the PA was the perfect kayak for that. I shit you not, I've taken naps on PAs without any problems.
I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that. I think I may have seen you asleep on a PA one night during a night fishing trip.
Night fishing trips. Yeah, you know, six PAs in.
Yeah, we had to wake you up. So for my number five, guys, on my list, I went ahead and excluded the pedal kayaks because I knew that Andrew and Chris would talk about some. So all of mine are paddle kayaks. And for inshore fishing, my number five, Carlos mentioned it earlier, is a Tarpon 120 or a Tarpon 140. Now, are you going to be able to stand up on this kayak? No, you're not. You may be able to, but it's not going to be comfortable poling. It has the phase 3 seat. It's 63 pounds. The price point is, you know, $999 for a brand new one. You can find used ones in the $600 range. And there's a lot of guides on the Gulf Coast that this is what their fleet is. It's reliable. It gets you where you need to go. You can hit various spots quickly. Now, like I said, you're not going to be standing up sight casting from it, but you can crab walk. You can sit sideways. Mm-hmm. And you can cover a whole lot of area with the Tarpon 140.
I think the 140 is probably out of the three. Now, I know the 160 is no longer in production, but the 140, I believe, is a little bit wider than both either the 120 or the 160. So you do get a little more stability. The secondary stability that's on a Tarpon kayak is amazing, man. I love the secondary stability.
Yes, sir.
Great boats. Yeah, just the quality, U.S. Made. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of those kind of hallmark kayaks really in the industry for the longest time. There's many kayaks that want to be a Tarpon. They don't get close to it. Yeah.
Yes, sir. All right, Carlos, number four.
Number four. Just going to throw it out here. It's going to be the Trident 13. The Ocean Kayak Trident 13, another classic. I put it up next to just the Tarpon, just a proven, tested hull, proven and tested platform. Can't remember the price, but it's probably like $1,299. So again, still this day is a price point kayak when you consider where things are going. Open deck, you know, before even open deck was a thing, you know, outside of the PAs and that kind of thing. You could stand, you can take it inshore, you can take it offshore, you can take it to rivers. Just light considering its size and just a pleasure to paddle. Another great kayak that, again, for an inshore, you're going to cover it a lot of distance. You can take everything you want. It's just
I can't wait to get I can't wait to get through some of these, and people are gonna like they're gonna see this story unfold while you know us three are talking about these top five kayaks. And the story really that they're gonna see is that there are big hitters in this industry, okay, guys, that just make quality product, okay? And we're not going to lie to you about that. And you're going to see it. It's going to unfold here in this top five. The greatest thing is that I don't know what Carlos's top five are. I don't know what Drew's top five are, and they don't know what my top five are.
Yep, this is all everybody made their list, and we're just having a little roundtable discussion. So, Chris, what's your number four?
Guys, I don't even own this kayak, okay, but I've used one a couple times in secrecy, okay, and I can't wait to own one. It's the Viking Reload.
Yeah, I've never been on one. I have no comment on it. So what's the thought behind it, Chris?
Okay, so I love a good paddling boat, okay? Now, why did I put it down there at the bottom, you know, instead of somewhere up at the top? Because I know it's a good paddling boat. It's probably because I have not fished out of it. I don't know its capabilities. But I have used one a couple times, and I just imagined that this thing is just square everywhere that I need it to be square, and round everywhere where I need it to be round. It's pretty much an all-inclusive boat that has all the angles covered for you. And surprisingly, I was able to stand up and paddle with no problem whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I did not expect that out of a boat that has that type of shape to it.
Sure.
It was super, super.
Let's consider it like a big water boat, right? Big rocker, long, not necessarily conductive for designed really for inshore, but yeah, it does extremely well. We know a lot of guys that have been fishing from that reload for many, many years, and it excels offshore and inshore. Yeah.
What's great about it too, because I owned one whenever they first came over. I had some off the first container that came. I had a reload and a 400. The tackle pod is great. You put everything in there the night before. Whenever you get to the water, you don't even need a crate. The tackle pod is big enough to put all your stuff in. And you just take your tackle pod out of the truck, you put it in the kayak, you put your poles in, and you go, and you're off. It's right there. It has two rod holders in the front and two in the back. You don't need to add anything. If you're fishing dead bait, like for some guys that like to throw dead mullet or dead shrimp, the center hat or the hatch that's right between your legs acts like a little cooler. You can put your bait right in there and you can throw it out. So the reload will definitely be brought up in one of my top fives, but it will not be brought up today for inshore, but we're going to talk about that in a different episode. Now I'm going to talk about something completely different than a reload. This is not a sleek, fast boat. My number four is the Bonafide SS-127. And the reason it made my list is you can stand up and you can pull this thing all day long. You can see everything that you want to see. The seat is super comfortable. Now, it's a little heavy. It's 94 pounds, so it's not a real fast boat, and it's not easy to load and unload. But there's so many fishy features about this, and I know Bonafide likes to talk about the fishability. The junk drawer underneath is perfect. Mm-hmm. And it even has recesses in the junk drawer for you to lay your rods down so they stay up off the floor of the kayak. I mean, it's just, you guys got to go check them out if you haven't. It just has so many little fishy features. It paddles fairly well for a, let's see, how wide is this thing? For a 33 3/4 inch kayak. It's a wide kayak, and you're not going to paddle it a long way, but if you want to stand and sight cast, it is a great kayak for that.
Not only but that seat, baby, that seat is perfect for your booty.
That seat, man.
And that voice takes me back to when I was sitting on that seat. You're absolutely right. I think it's I'm going to say this. The most comfortable seat out there.
Oh yeah,
just the way that it's shaped, and again, it doesn't have a lot of the adjustments that you see in some other kayaks, right? But the ergonomics of it, you know, once you put it on the extra super high position, right? Because he's got like a couple settings. The way it curves around your kind of your knees, how high the back is, and how it all narrows towards your neck and your shoulder blades, and how high up it goes and rounds back. I mean, just an extremely comfortable seat.
Wouldn't it have been awesome to be a fly on the wall while they were developing that seat, knowing that they were going to kick everybody's ass in the industry on the seat alone?
Mm-hmm. On the seat alone, yeah. And Drew, have you tried it? Have you tried that that Bonafide with the flex wings? I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I have not. I've seen it in there, and it supposedly helps with the tracking a lot, and that's one reason why that it's not higher on my list, because in the wind it does walk a little bit because the back end is so high.
Yeah, that is correct. So the tracking features and the way the hole was designed, I mean, it's since he's got that kind of tri-hole design, so it provides just little drag, right, with the water, since there's cavities and basically it runs the full length of the kayak. And they did that purposely, but once you add the flex wings on the back, that kayak turns into a complete different machine. It tracks so much better, and I wish we need to come up with a better, there might be a better term for this, but it feels like the kayak is grounded finally on the back. We did a video before and after with the flex wings and without it. And even on the video, you can see it. I don't even know if we published it. But, you know, you do a paddle stroke on the left and you see how the kayak. Let me just do this. Yeah. You do the paddle stroke on the left and you see how the kayak keeps turning to the right. And then kind of the rear of the kayak keeps turning, and you end up sideways, right? It's just, you know, tracking could have been improved on the manufacturing. But so they caught it, of course, the kind of the masterminds there, Luther and his team, came up with an amazing solution, and it was a flex wings. If you guys are not familiar with it, look it up. If you have a Bonafide, you should have the flex wings. And once we put the flex wings, you make a paddle stroke on your left, and the kayak stays going, you know, forward. Just the tracking improves so much. So, yeah, it's a good choice.
Nice. All right. So, Carlos, number three.
Number three. I'm going to keep it real. Hobie Outback is what I fish from. I mean, it's there for – did I take it away from you, Chris?
Is that your number three, Chris?
That's my number three.
Oh, right, wow. Well, okay. Well, you guys just tag team this one. Just go back and forth and talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just comfortable, is able, is capable, is big enough to carry everything you want, but you can go skinny, you can drag it in the mud, you can stand up and pull the kayak around. It does extremely well inshore, especially now with the kick-up fins. No more kind of just stopping on a dime and bending masts. It just keeps getting better. I mean, there's just so much I can say about that kayak, and that's the reason why it's one of my personal choices. Yep.
So I've had three Outbacks. I've had a 2005 Outback, a 2016 Outback, and now I have the 2019 Outback. And
Chris, hold on. Let me interrupt you real quick. On that 2005 though, that was a 2005 model Outback, but it also had like a 2012 Home Depot bucket welded onto it. And
no,
is that the kayak I'm thinking of that you got dirt cheap that you had a huge hole in and had
that
to
was my
up?
PA. That was my first
okay.
PA.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Yeah. I didn't no, my first PA looked like Freddy Krueger's face.
It looked like it was attacked by a grizzly bear.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not joking. He got this thing from like North Dakota and a grizzly bear attacked that thing.
Had a seat like hey. Right. Fully upholstered seat on it. Yeah.
And Drew, you never paid me back for the seat you broke on that thing.
That was already broke. That was from the grizzly bear attack.
So, but anyway, going back, I've had three Outbacks, and none of them are as perfect as the 2019 Outback. Okay, and they even made it better with the kick-up fins in 2020, which I didn't think they were going to be able to top the advantage that they created in the 2019 Outback. Now, guys, I'm going to say this, and I've said it so many times before, just take it to heart. Hobie got it right, okay? There's a thing, a phenomenon in the Hobie world that's called the perpetual right-hand turn, okay? With typical Hobie boats, when you paddle it, it has a right-hand turn. It will make a right-hand turn when you're paddling, not when you're using the Mirage Drive, when you're actually paddling the boat. And the reason why is because the hull is designed to be propelled from the Mirage Drive, not from a paddle. With this model, they finally got it to the point to where there is absolutely no difference when you're paddling or pedaling. And that's why I love it so much, because there are so many areas where I fish where the Mirage Drive, it has to come up, okay? It has to fold up. I cannot use it. I may be in 3 foot of water, but the grass is so thick and so tall that the Mirage Drive does nothing for me, so I have to paddle it around. Well, my old Revo, I'd have to do, you know, 4 strokes on the right and 2 strokes on the left.
Corrected.
To keep the end. I know people are like, well, why don't you use your rudder? Guys, it's not a foot-controlled rudder. It's a hand-controlled rudder. So you can't paddle it and control the rudder. All right?
Plus, and it's going to shift and move a bit. Yeah,
it's exactly. Going to shift and move a bit. Sure, you could try to keep it down to help you track straight, but it's going to move.
Paddle.
And all the available configuration of the kayak, like – it's not just here's your cup holders now, okay? Because that's kind of Outback. Whenever I first saw cup holders on a kayak, I went, what the hell? That's pretty cool. But now it's like, here's your cup holders, plus here's all your Plano box holders, plus here's all your plier holders, here's your place for your Lowrance. Here's a place for this. Here's a place for that. Oh, by the way, if you don't want it there, move it somewhere else because it's interchangeable front to rear. They got it right, man. Yep. That's just all I've got to say is they got it right.
Oh, yeah, we've come a long way from sitting in the garage with PVC and too much time on our hands trying to make drop-down arms for fish finders and extended rod holders and something to hold your tackle. We've come a long way from that in the last 10 years. That is for damn sure. All right, so my number three, I am going with the Old Town Topwater 120. I haven't owned this boat, but I've paddled this boat. Every time I'm at the demos, I paddle this boat. I kind of drooled over it at the fishing show this year. This boat is 33.5 inches wide. It's 82 pounds. It paddles well for a kayak that is almost 34 inches wide. It will hold 500 pounds. And I think one of the best things about this is it does have the storage. It has all those creature features. But the price point, it's $999. It's a sub $1,000 kayak. And the features that come with it get it as my number three.
That's a great choice. Choose.
Yeah.
Great choice. And I might just keep my number three, man, because that was it. But it's so mine is the updated version. So the top water, I don't even know if I'm supposed to say this, but the top water, it's here, but it'll eventually phase out under what it's being already offered out in the market, which is the Old Town Sportsman 120.
Mm-hmm. It just came out. The Topwater just came out, and they're going to start phasing it out and replacing it with the Sportsman?
It's the same kayak, just rebranded. Yeah. I mean, it's almost identical. It's 99% identical. I think the back, if I'm not mistaken, there is.
Different bows, too.
It's powerful already, I think, the new one. But this old, the Sportsman, it's now Old Town Sportsman 120. And it's the same as it's almost identical to the Topwater. So it's almost replacing it. So the Topwater still being made and still being offered, but it's now everything going to carry over into the Sportsman. So
that was your number two?
That was your number
two. Sorry. Yeah. So, yep. I mean, it's same kayak that Drew picked, right, for the same reasons. It's a great price, paddles extremely well, it's not too heavy. It's a great boat for really anyone that wants to fish any kind of water. Inshore, rivers, lakes, you can try offshore in ice cream conditions. I mean, it's just a great boat. And when you're sitting on it on the 120, and I've tried the 106, I think the 10'6", they're identical platforms. The only difference, of course, you get a little bit more room. The 120 just hits that right spot of a perfect medium of size. And then the tracking gets so much better. It's just another great boat to have.
You know what's absolutely bananas is that the think tank behind these kayaks in Old Town just went into overdrive over the last couple of years. And they started to work so very hard on producing products that are going to bring their brand back.
It's a powerhouse, man.
Not necessarily bring it back, because Old Town, I mean, honestly, they never went anywhere. They never... And I don't mean like went anywhere, like they didn't disappear on us. OK, they've been building products, but they've been in sort of a niche market. Right. Canoes mainly.
Yep.
Yeah. 100%. And river craft. Right. Whereas they hadn't really tackled the inshore or sit on top market like they should have. And that think tank that is Old Town came out and hit a freaking home run. And I know their new products that they're putting out are top notch. As far as a pedal drive, a rotary pedal drive is concerned, I think Old Town or that company, what is it, Johnson?
So you have Johnson Outdoors.
Johnson Outdoors.
It's a bunch of other brands, yeah.
I know I'm kind of getting off the topic of just that Old Town or Sportsman kayak, but the pedal drive that Johnson Outdoors created that's being used across platforms is probably the toughest rotary pedal drive that's being made.
It is great. Longest, I think, 5-year warranty. And again, just to kind of speak about the same power of the Old Town brand, I mean, it's a great kayak, but Old Town is a sister company, or it's a sister brand of Ocean Kayak. Ocean Kayak, for those who don't know, they're the ones who invented the mass-produced roto-molded kayak back in the 80s, and I forget right now, Tim Niemann. And that was under the Ocean Kayak brand, and what the brand has done in recently is the Ocean Kayak, it continues to put out, you know, kayak fishing recreational, more recreational than anything else, kind of your everyday fun kayak. And then Old Town, like you said, in the last 2 years, they just kind of hit the throttle and they're coming out with an amazing options. And they started one of the best launches we've ever experienced. I think I can speak about it in regards on behalf of the industry, and even ACK was a top water. So yeah, great boat, great brand. They've been making canoes for 100 and something years. And again, they invented sit on top roto-molded kayaks.
All right, Chris, you're number two.
Number two. Man, I love this kayak, and I love it for everything that it is. And I've had one for, I don't know how many years. Trident. Ocean Kayak Trident is my number two. And I don't care what size, 11, 13, or the 15. It's probably... I mean, it's the second best paddling kayak for sit on top fishing. Okay.
Sure.
It's I think Carlos, you picked it as your
I had my fourth, I think, and yeah, it's hard. Yeah,
rank. And the one thing that he said that's absolutely true about this kayak is its weight. I cannot believe how light these kayaks are. Even with the advancements that they continue to add better products, better seats, better pods, better attachments, you know, better hardware. And the kayak just keeps getting better. They have not changed really the hull shape. It's still that perfect hull shape. It's got a lot of a surface area from the middle, you know, so that you can actually stand in them. They're they're very stable. But I think my 11 weighs like, I don't know, barely 50 pounds.
Yeah, they glide ridiculously forever, light. Man. They just you just paddle a couple strokes and just you see the kayak just keeps going straight. It just doesn't stop. Yeah,
I think the 13 is like barely 60 pounds. It's probably like 58, 59 or something like that. I don't know. Ridiculously light, ample storage. The tank well on those things are massive. Yep. You can put so much behind you. Although I don't usually carry too much, my wife does, and I mean, she's usually got camera equipment, a cooler, her crate. I'm pretty sure she brings, you know, a lunch for everybody.
Snacks.
Love notes to Chris. We've talked about that before.
And when we're out together and she's in the Trident and I'm in a Hobie, guess what? My drive fits inside the hull of the Trident. And that's like perfect. I'm going, wow, man, nothing. No kayak.
The drive doesn't even fit inside the PA, right?
But it fits. The drive does not fit in any of the Hobie, not even in the PA. Yeah. I'll say this and in hopes that nobody will ever catch me doing this, but sometimes I've taken my drive out and thrown it up on the shoreline and hit it. So that I can come back to it later.
Just pick it up later. That's awesome.
I've seen you use that drive as an anchor off the side of your boat too.
I still have my very first drive, Drew, that I did that with. Okay, and that thing has been through hell. And people ask if they're robust, you know, enough to stick around and not, you know, can they take a beating?
Well, apparently, if you can use it as an anchor.
I've only changed one chain on that drive. All these years.
That's just wear and tear.
Yeah. But the masts themselves have more Gorilla Tape than anything else. I've used. Rolls upon rolls of Gorilla Tape.
That's awesome. There's no fin. It's a fin, not a Gorilla Tape.
Yeah. So, but anyway, Trident's my number two, man.
That's awesome. All right. I cannot agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
My number two, Carlos, I'm going to need you to cover your ears on this number two. My number two is going to be, they don't even make this kayak anymore, and it's my number two, is going to be the Jackson Cuda. The Jackson Cuda was a great paddling. You can still find them used. It was a great paddling kayak. They did great naming this thing. Because the Cuda isn't the fastest kayak out there. It's not going to be as fast as the Trident. It's not going to be as fast as the Tarpon. But when you think of a Cuda, you're like, man, that sucker's fast.
Hey, can you see my face over here? This is a true number two.
I see you. I see your face.
And no one messes with a Cuda. Right? Yeah,
nobody messes with a Cuda. But
you throw something shiny and they'll eat it.
That's true. So the kayak is 30 and a half inches. So it's not a really wide kayak. It has the lawn chair seat. Jackson's are a little on the heavier end. This one, you know, a 14 is 80 pounds, but it can take a beating. If you're one that likes to run your kayak up on oyster reefs and, you know, get it up on shell and just drag the hell and beat the hell out of it, the Jackson Cuda is a good kayak for that. You can find them fairly cheap now in the used market, but Jackson Cuda is my number
700 bucks.
Yeah.
I wanted to like that kayak, man. When I moved from the Pescador 12 into the next one, and I ended up with the Ultra 4.7, kind of the big brother of the Trident, and I guess sibling to a Reload, right? It's just a big open water kayak. I tested the Cuda. I wanted to like it. Everybody had one. It was just a great boat, extremely well accepted by the market. It just didn't work out for me. I just remember being the chair,
the primary stability.
For a lot of people, it just didn't, I want to love it. I remember Tino, right? A friend of ours, Tino Mendieta, he had a Cuda and everybody again, you try before you buy, and it just didn't fit me.
Yeah. And that's what's great about the show and why we have three different guys talking about all these kayaks. If you hear a consensus on a kayak, then you should probably add that one to your list. Now, the rest of them are going to be our personal preference for our different types of fishing. So what I may really like, Chris may not like, and Carlos may not like. But if you've listened to the podcast long enough, you know what type of fishing we like to do.
It's also our chance to take your number two and turn it into a deuce. because
I knew it was coming when I put it on my list.
I've got to have surgery on both my shoulders because of my old CUDA 14.
It was such a heavy. Yeah,
it's heavy.
I said what I had to say.
It's definitely heavy.
It's the only kayak I've ever turtled.
The primary stability isn't great. Primary stability isn't great.
True story. Only kayak.
Well, there you go. It's funny you say that, Drew. It's funny you say primary stability. I remember paddling that kayak, and it was in Galveston Bay Complex at Pierce Marsh. I rented one from FTU, and paddling that thing, and it was doing this. And I was like, okay, I just didn't work out for me. But beautiful boat. Again, I wanted to like it.
Take some time to get used to. Yeah. Now, do you guys have any honorable mentions that you want to throw in that may have been kind of on your fringe that you were thinking about? Chris, do you have any that may be an honorable mention for you? Maybe one that you haven't paddled yet and you didn't want to put on this list, but you've heard good things about.
You know, what's awesome is that you guys have hit on them, though. Like, SS 127, is that right? The Bonafide. Yeah. I absolutely love that kayak. I will own one day. But it's just one of those that it doesn't really fit my particular taste so much. I like them skinny. With the exception to the Outback, I do like them skinny. And I like, you guys say.
Or
that stupid CUDA. I have a story about that one, man. It's just most people cry when their kayaks leave. I jumped for joy when that. But the Bonafide would be one, and what was the other one that was mentioned? Topwater. Yeah, the Topwater would be another one. Yeah. So, like I said, guys, this story is unraveling in front of you, and it's, our top fives are not very far off. Now, with the exception of I do like long, skinny kayaks, and these guys don't necessarily believe that long, skinny kayaks are inshore kayaks.
It's not that we don't believe. I just don't want to deal with a 160, right? But I 100% agree that a 160 is a missile, right?
Can you see that? No, I can't.
So I can't wait for your number one then.
But well, my deal with those long skinny ones, they get you where you want to go. But I find myself getting distracted trying to stand up and sight cast and look for fish. So I want to have something that I can really stand up and get out there on. One of my honorable mentions is another one that I don't know if they make them anymore. Just the plain Slayer 14. It had, I think it was one of the first that came out that had the sides where you could fit the Plano boxes in. And that was a good, storage. If you're looking for a used kayak, that's another one that you can find out there. That was in my top five. And if you're looking for a pedal drive, the Slayer, not the Slayer Max Pro, but the Slayer Propel was one of the best paddling pedal drives that I'd ever been in. And I really liked that boat, too. So if I was adding pedal drives, it would be in my honorable mention.
I like that boat, but you know what? It's also another one of those that's a pig.
It kind of is. I just don't like the fact that whenever I have to pull the Propel drive, it's in my way. It may not be in other people's
with
way, but to me,
and everything else,
it just sits up too tall. Carlos, did you have any others you wanted to mention before we got to your number one?
No, I mean, there's too many to mention. The other one that it didn't make my list, but I think we're all going to be like, and I don't know if you guys ever tried it, but just the ride, Wilderness Systems ride.
Yep. I thought about that one too.
Another classic, it seems like we're all trying to stay away from the pedal drives a bit, aside from Chris and I, but they're right. I mean, again, you have the platform of a tarpon and you just make it wider. I mean, the hull is completely different still, but it was and is still just extremely popular kayak. yeah, perform extremely well. It went from, it took the tarpon platform and it made it wider for people to stand up and side cast and have a more ergonomic kind of position on the boat. Just great, great kayak. Yeah.
All right. Number one.
I got, this is my sleeper. New Canoe Frontier 12.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Sleeper. Yeah. And this comes,
I don't get enough love.
Personal experience. So at ACK, of course, I haven't owned all of these kayaks, but of course I've tried almost every single kayak out there. And the Frontier 12, it was one of those kayaks that we were going to go shoot a video. We went to Port Aransas, and I was, to be very honest, I was dreading it. Just so wide, so concave, so fat in the center, so short for how wide it is. And I wasn't looking forward to it. I mean, I'll be very honest with you. And I think Josh, the photographer, former
sort of shaped like a willow leaf or something.
Exactly, man. It's just, there's nothing. I mean, you see it out in the water. It's like it almost doesn't belong in the water. That's how I felt. And as soon as I put it in the water and started paddling it, it was night and day, you know, to what I previously thought about that kayak. It paddles extremely well. It's so open, the cockpit, again, you don't have a lot of hatches and latches, and so much carrying capacity. You can put whatever you want on the kayak for fly fishing. Of course, it's just made for that. It even has small little hooks where you can kind of put your fly rods kind of tucked in along the gunnels. It paddles so well. There are some other brands of kind of similar flat, wide, long, open, fly fishing friendly or marsh, river fishing friendly boats that do not paddle well at all, without getting into the names. But this one, it does not need a skeg. It does not need anything. The 360 chair, and now they came out with a lot of other options, but it's a 360. So you can turn it sideways and land the fish kind of just looking on the side of the kayak. Any other kayak, you try that and, you know, where your head goes, your body follows. It wasn't the case with the Frontier 12. Eventually we ended up taking that kayak more and more. Another reason why I loved it, it is your poor man's gift. It can be fitted to take two anglers, and Josh and a friend of mine, we used to take it on a tandem, and you have a 12-foot boat being pulled by the guy behind you, and you're fly fishing or you're side casting. It's just, I was not expecting it, and for that reason, because of the fact that it's light, it's simple. I think it's a $1,300-$1,400, so it's not the cheapest, but you can take your kids with you. It can be set as a single or a tandem. It was one of the best surprises I've ever had when testing a kayak.
So my question to you was going to be about the seat, whether or not you liked the seat, because I know that a lot of people comment on the seats that New Canoe have provided for their kayaks as not being the toughest around. They
couldn't tell you on toughness because I didn't, it was a demo and we didn't have an issue and we ended up selling it probably at some point, but I didn't experience it. Just my experience with trying that kayak 20 times, we didn't have any issues.
You would have said something though, knowing the type of person that you are and knowing the quality of a kayak, you would have said the seat felt cheap. Trust that it was at least a good seat.
Yeah, and so focusing on the seat, and I'll be very, just kind of, since you're kind of we're getting into this. So two things that I wasn't expecting is the 360, as you paddle, there's nothing to really lock it in place. So, you know, you're moving kind of, your hips are moving left and right. So that wasn't great, but after 5 minutes with everything that was going on around on the kayak, standing, just wide platform, I love just drifting the flats, especially in areas like Port Aransas, Corpus Christi, Matagorda on a good day where the water is clear and you just sit, right? You just go with the wind and you can cover miles. It was just a pleasure. As far as how comfortable the seat was, it was comfortable to turn around. It's wide. The 360 works well. I did notice that. I think it's just the supports that run under the, you know, on the pan and on the backrest. At some point, the fabric, after a few trips, starts stretching and you can feel a little bit of those supports. but not to make me change my mind. And I know they've made a lot of revisions to the seat. I haven't tested them, but overall, I would still put it at number one. No kayak is perfect.
Here's the struggle that New Canoes had, I guess, with their seats is they came out with that tandem system, I think, like around 2015. And that kind of introduced a new world into their seating configurations with that front tier. And they haven't stopped just, you know, trying to improve it and make it better and make it different. And I said this whenever you first said New Canoe, they don't get enough love. They really don't. There are a lot of people out there that have no idea about New Canoe. And honestly, they probably make one of the better paddling hulls out of most of these kayak manufacturers that make sit on tops. But they want to be in a different category. All of their kayaks want to be in a different category. They want to be part of their namesake or part of their name, New Canoe.
Canoe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you look at them, they look like that shape of a canoe. But they're sit on tops. Yeah. It's a cool brand. They definitely have a nice product out there. I love looking at them. I did paddle the Frontier and the Flint. Flint was surprisingly stable.
Yeah.
For such a
skinny kayak. Yeah, and the Frontier, man, he can take a motor. It was just a surprise. You know what I'm saying? Well, the kayak is perfect and it's going to work for everyone. But in my experience, again, trying hundreds of kayaks so far in my career at ACK or as a kayak angler, the Frontier was the one like, oh, I would love to own one of these. And on the other hand, there's been many other brands and many other models that typically are a lot more popular, and you see more people, there's more buzz around them, that I've been on them. I'm like, this doesn't work at all in many ways. But yeah, that's my number one. It's a sleeper. Give it a shot, guys.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what's your number one?
All right, so I'm going to follow old Drew's lead here with the – it's not even being manufactured anymore.
Okay.
And – honestly, it's probably a good thing that it's not being manufactured anymore, because they strayed away from what made it so good to begin with. And my number one inshore kayak is the T160.
There you go.
Well, that fits your fishing style.
It does.
That's
man.
All you. And you had one, right? Yeah, you had an orange.
I've had four.
Mango. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, my first one was the Mango. It was a T160i, and that is probably the best model that they ever made. Then I had a 2012 model, which was good. Okay. It wasn't as good as the T160i. And then something happened in 2015 and they changed the mold. They changed the hull. And once you would get that kayak up on glide, it would just
really
slow down. Yeah. I thought, man, is it just this your model? So I tried a newer one. Same thing. Just, man, you'd get it up on a glide and then it just slow down. But it's still at the top of my list because it is the absolute most comfortable to me. There has not been another kayak that is as comfortable as a Tarpon. To me, it just hugs my hips perfectly. It keeps my spine aligned in the correct alignment while I'm paddling. There's plenty of leg room. You know, my son's 6'4", and every time we went kayak fishing together, he's like, don't put me in a 12-foot kayak, Dad. I got to have a 16-foot kayak.
Sure.
So we always had a 16-foot kayak in the garage, and Tarpon 160 was our favorite. The 140... Same style of kayak, same leg room and seating. It's been a long day, guys. My brain is mush. Same seat and everything, but it is a little bit wider and a little bit shorter. Whenever you start to mess with that length to width ratio, the speed and the stability changes. I'm like a ballerina on a T-160.
I'm not a ballerina on anything.
I've stood up on the T-160. It's not easy, but man, I could get around on those things perfectly.
Do you still have one, or you got rid of all your 160s?
And so what's now in my garage is my Trident, my Scrambler, which actually I'm selling the Scrambler. My neighbor wants it. My Outback, my Live 4, my L4 Expedition.
Yeah.
And then I've got like a boat board.
Okay.
So I don't have, but I drool every time I see a freaking Tarpon 160 for sale on Facebook. Dude, you can't beat them. You can't beat
them. No. It's such a classic haul again. I almost want to like get one of those, just get it kind of refinished, put some kind of armor all on it and hang it on a wall. I mean, it's just a beautiful looking long classic kayak, man. Yeah.
It's like this is you look at it and you go, this is what a kayak should look like, right?
Yeah. 100%. It's a classic.
Not a
Frontier 12.
No. Not a battleship looking tri-hull.
Sure. Yeah.
You look at a Bonafide and you don't go, that's what a kayak should look like, right?
Mm-mm. It looks like an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Right?
It has the same kind of lines and stuff as an aircraft carrier. Yep.
It's like the total opposite. So.
Yep. Well, my number one, some may not even consider a true kayak. If you listen to the show, you know that I paddle a Native Ultimate FX, the FX-15 Tandem, and I paddle it in the solo position. And I don't think that the Ultimate series gets enough love from a lot of kayakers. It's
from the industry, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good paddling boat, and it's one that I believe anybody can stand up in. It has tracks everywhere. If you get the FX series, it comes with, you know, when you buy it, it comes with anchor trolleys on both sides. You have tracks on both sides. It has a raised seat. It has underseat storage. They're fairly light. The FX-12, I believe, is 66 pounds. The FX-15 is 80 pounds and has a 600-pound carrying capacity. You can put everything in the world in that kayak. Yeah. And I like the Ultimate, the FX-15 Tandem in the solo position, just because it's a little over 15 foot, it's only 31 inches wide, I can throw a cast net off of it, and it paddles really well. And I can handle it by myself. Even with it being 80 pounds, because of the way it's made, I can turn it over on its side, grab underneath the rails, and I can pick it up and carry it. I can load it by myself because it's so long and get it on that rack. But that is my number one inshore kayak, and I really don't think that the Ultimate series gets enough love from Native.
You know what's crazy is that I know a ton of people that love hybrids. Okay, you're one of them. Robert Brown, who is a real good friend of mine that lives out in Alabama, the Kilroy is like his favorite, all-time favorite kayak. That's again, it's a hybrid. Commanders, Tombo. Remember those?
Tombo is, the Commander.
I had a Commander too.
They just, it's sort of it's like a niche kayak, right?
Mm-hmm. They sit a little lower in the water, exactly. So they offer a little more stability because you're already sunk down, and they're always a little longer, and the lines are a little different because you it's not made to ride up and over waves and things like that. It's just made to straight paddle on calmer water, which most of my inshore sessions are on some pretty calm water.
Yeah, lower center of gravity, and you also I haven't had the time or the opportunity to fish from one of them. So when we go, I like to take yours for a spin. But I just from doing demos and taking a few out on just lakes, The lower center of gravity offers an advantage. Again, I 100% agree that they don't get enough credit. It's one of those that, you know, it might just kind of stay kind of undercover for a few years. And so I was like, oh, let's bring those hybrid type canoes, kayaks. And like, oh, the biggest enchilada is like, it existed for the longest time. And it was a well-performing vessel. The other thing is, the ability to kind of brace yourself, right? So, when you're standing up, depending on where you stand on the kayak, and if you're on the 15 or the 12, if you got a hold of one, is that your shins or, you know, your knees can, not your shins, yeah, not your knees, your shins, but you can brace against the side of the kayak, and yep. There's really no other better way to be connected to a kayak, or no other kayak offers that opportunity, where typically a lot of the stability, you have to sense it from your bottom of your, you know, your feet, and then up towards your hips. With kayaks like that are the hybrid type, you just brace against your shins and you're one with the kayak. Yeah.
Yeah. And the FX series, it comes with a lot of added benefits on it. I mean, you have the cup holder, the undersea storage. It has the foam where you stand, where your feet placement is already on there. It's got foams where your arm sits. It's got tracks from the front to the back. It has a little command center in the front with notches to hold five rods. It has a lot of creature comforts in that one.
That's awesome. Yeah, great choice now, too.
Yeah. Now, Chris, before we get into talking about some lures here, you want to talk about our friends over at Real Sportswear? Maybe talk about what models or what shirts that you got in your order from them and how you liked them?
You know what? So as far as the product that I ordered, man, I absolutely have nothing bad to say. It's all great stuff. But what I did not get my hands on were the new models, okay? The new products that they're putting out for this fall. And that's what I missed, because I didn't realize that the big hitter is truly a big hitter, man. And I need to go back to the Real Sportswear website and I need to order one of these performance shirts, because from what I'm reading and from what I understand, this is a new material that they're using that is completely odor resistant. And sometimes during the day, I end up smelling like a gosh darn gorilla. So being able to keep that stank off my shirt is something that's important to me. 100% dry and cool moisture wicking polyester. Look, back in the day, man, people used to make fun of you for wearing polyester. Now polyester is the only thing we want to put on our skin. It's lightweight and UPF 50. UPA 50, for those of you that don't know, I'm Irish. I've got that light skin that gets burnt up sometimes. Don't let the freckles fool you. This skin burns, okay? So yes. Having that extra protection really, really does help when you're out in the sun all day long. But one of the coolest things about one of my new shirts is the fact that it's made out of recycled plastic bottles, guys. I absolutely dig that. It's probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen ever in my whole entire life, is that you can actually participate in your recycling program by wearing t-shirts that are made out of bottles. Come on, man. That's super cool.
Save the world.
It's called, what is this stuff called? It's called Reclaim, I think, is what it's called. But anyway, and the print on the shirt is too damn cool, because it says, you know what? Anglers are athletes too.
Yes, sir. You mentioned checking out their website for that stuff. Guys, you can also download their app on iOS and Android. And if you download and order from their app, you will save on shipping. Shipping will be free on your order if you use the app. Also, if you use promo code TPP15, you will save 15% on your order. That's for your whole order, guys. 15% on anything from Real Sportswear. Check out the website, get the app, and save on some shipping.
By the way, I found out it's called Reprieve. Reprieve,
yes. We talked about that in our last episode with Andrew, the owner of Real Sportswear. So guys, if you haven't checked that out, go back in the archives and check out the last episode. All right, let's run through some lures real quick, and then we're going to talk about a little bit of Netflix. I know we said we're going to do 30, 45 minutes, but heck, we've been on here over an hour. It feels like we haven't even been talking for 30 minutes. That flew That flew by, man. That was some great conversation. So let's talk about our favorite soft plastics for inshore, and we'll go the same way. Carlos, let's start with your number five.
All right, so I'm going to start with number five is going to be my Saltwater Assassin, Chicken on a Chain, just 4-inch shad.
Awesome. That's my number four. So you just took my number four away. And like chicken on a chain.
In that very specific color?
Chicken on a chain. Yeah.
Chicken on a chain.
Yep.
I'm. You'll see my repertoire, my selection here. I'm either a neutral color and I have, you'll see, but it's either dark, it's very dark, very light, or somewhere in the middle. And this one I consider somewhere in the middle because it's got that kind of chartreuse with the kind of brownish root beer belly. Yeah, chicken on a chain.
So, and you said that was your number four, Drew?
That's my number four. Yep.
Oh. Where are you at on that?
Number is three. That on your list, Chris? That's your number three. Well, there you go, guys.
It used to be my number one, man. That used to be the bait that I used all the friggin' time. It's too soft. Let's face it. Great action, super action, but it's too soft. It gets tore up real quick, and you're constantly changing plastics.
The tail gets torn off fairly often. That's why it's lower down in my list. But it has the perfect little spot to put your Procure in there.
Yeah. None of the options that I have here, by the way, and that's a very good point, Chris. None of the options that I have here, I rated them or ranked them based on durability, by the way. I mean, to me, it's just the confidence and do they actually work when I want them to work, right? Do they find the fish for me? But there's a couple other options come to mind which didn't make it to the list that are a hell of a lot more durable than any other options that I have on my list. So we'll see. What do you have?
All right, Chris, number five.
Number five. I don't even know if these are being made anymore. I still have quite a few packages and I use them. TTF Trout Killers.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while. Yeah,
Texas Tackle Factory, the Trout Killers. Basically, what they did was they tried to address the issue of soft baits. Soft baits getting tore up all the time. So they made a tougher, harder, more robust plastic, and then they variegated it. Right? They put channels to allow the bait to move swifter and have more action through the water. Used to use those quite a bit. I thought they were the answer to my Saltwater Assassins getting tore up all the time.
Yep. All right, so my number five is the Norton Bull Minnow. I like the Norton Bull Minnow. I like it with some gold and red flake in there. I think it really – I like throwing spoons and gold spoons, and the gold and red flake to me kind of mimic the same type of thing. So my number five is the Norton Bull Minnow, and I also like it because whenever I rig it weedless, it just looks good to me. It rigs weedless very well on a weedless hook. So, Carlos, let's go into number four. Let's blaze through these.
All right, you're going to start to see a pattern here, but I'm going to stick it. I'm going to stick to kind of I think the next are along the same family, but the Ripple Mullet, 4-inch wide and chartreuse.
That's again, a damn good bait.
Not durable because, again, they're part of the Gulp family, but my heart believes in them, and they made me happy. So yeah.
Which color did you say again?
Chartreuse with white with chartreuse the tail. Can't remember what the color is.
Yeah. Okay. So pearl and chartreuse.
Pearl and chartreuse. Yeah.
My favorite color in the Ripple Mullet are purple chartreuse.
I like
the dark colors, man.
I always look for contrast. Either I go for, again, you'll see just a full clear color, you know, pearl with the chartreuse, or I pick some other dark and new penny kind of thing. But interesting.
All right, Chris, what's your number four?
Number four, Norton Bull Minnows.
Hey, there you go.
Strawberry and white.
Strawberry and white to the tackle shop.
They're red color. I just like their reds.
You know, it is bright, bright.
Yeah. Bright. Okay. I like the red,
like,
man.
You want to take a bite out of it and you expect to taste like strawberry jelly.
It looks delicious. My number four was the Bass Assassin, the saltwater shad that we talked about before. So let's just go into Carlos's number three.
All right. Number three is going to be the gulp shrimp, the mantis shrimp.
That's one of mine. Oh. That's going to come up on my list.
Yeah. Just again on color, and I have, you know, it has two spots on my list, but I'll skip one. But chartreuse, pearl white and chartreuse. I just have so much confidence with it. Quarter ounce jig. I can sense with one of the legs, one of the little mantis claws is gone. That's how much
you're that in tune with your
dude. You can feel it. I'm dead. You can feel it.
Exactly, man. And there's no other bait that feels like that. I can feel absolutely anything. They durable? No, but doesn't matter. 2-3 packs in the bag, and yeah.
So I'll go ahead and bust this wide open. That's my number one. I love that bait so much, and it's the pearl with the chartreuse. And yeah. You know, I'm gonna plug something. My Turner Rod Co., my custom rods that I'm building, my last personal rod that I built for myself, it has pearl and chartreuse. Are the colors on there to mimic the pearl and chartreuse? gulp shrimp that I always throw on there. And I think if you go into my garage right now, there's a rock hard pearl and chartreuse gulp that's still on that rod sitting there in the garage. But that's my number one. I love the manta shrimp.
There you go.
Chris, that's what's awesome, number three?
My number three is the Saltwater Assassins, and it's in pumpkin chartreuse. Pumpkin chartreuse was okay. My confidence color for the longest time, and I'm talking like, you know, 3 years consecutively. That's all I was throwing. I still have a couple packs that I keep on the boat with me every time I go out.
Awesome. So my number three is going to be the gulp swimming mullet. The small 3-inch curly tails. That's my number three. That's, you know, out of my top. My top three are my confidence baits. They're my slump busters. If I'm not catching anything, I know they will catch at least a rat red. They have some new colors. I don't know if you guys use these very much, but they came out with some new colors this year. They have white and chartreuse now, where it was only white, chartreuse, or pink. Yep. Those were the only three. This year, they have white and chartreuse. They have white and orange. They have white with a new penny tail. And they have root beer and chartreuse. And I really like the root beer and chartreuse. That's that purple color. You know, a lot of guys call it the LSU whenever they're talking about the actual gulp shrimp. But that is my number three. And I really like the white and chartreuse or root beer and chartreuse, depending on what the water is like. So, Carlos, number two.
Number two is going to be the jerk shad. Again, sticking to the gulp family, jerk shad also in pearl white. Yep. Just works every time. If the winds are a little bit heavier, it can kind of stay a little bit higher on the water column. If I'm reeling it a little bit faster, I can just also balance it on the bottom. Yeah, super flexible bait just when my gulp mantis shrimp is not fighting the wind, I guess.
Yeah. Carlos, you talked earlier about wanting to use the Native Ultimate next time we go out and we switch. We're not even going to have to switch tackle boxes or anything.
Tackle boxes, yeah.
All, the same stuff that you're using is going to be in mine. Just switch rods and, you know, jump in the different kayaks. All right, Chris, what's your number? Are we on number three? What's your number three, Chris?
We're on number two. Number two? My number two.
No, we're on number three.
No, number three we did. I was the Saltwater Assassin pumpkin.
Okay. Chartreuse. Well, then you get skipped on this one. I'm just messing. Go ahead. We're on number two.
Didn't you just say you're number two, Carlos?
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
So number two.
Provazis tonight.
It's a bait that I've actually. It's been my tournament bait for probably. Oh, man, Drew, how long have we known each other?
Oh, 6-7 years.
Okay. So this has been my tournament bait for longer than that. All right. It is called a Trax. And I'm sorry, guys, but you will never, ever find it on a retail shelf ever again in this whole entire existence of the world of fishing. It's gone. It originally was produced by a company called Mystic Tackle Works out of Louisiana. And it is a it has a feeding stimulant very similar to Gulp. It was developed by an LSU professor, and the patent was sold, but something happened. You guys got to listen to the story. Something happened, and the patent got pulled back by LSU. So LSU took the patent back. The original, or the guy that was building the baits with this feeding stimulant, decided, well, I can't build the baits without the feeding stimulant. There's no sense in building the baits without the feeding stimulant. So he folded the bait coat. I was real good friends with the guy, and I'm like, hey, man. Well, not real good friends, but I'm acquaintances with him. I'm like, hey, what do you have left in your stock? And he's like, I've got 7,000 packs of this. I've got 8,000 packs of this. I've got 50,000 packs of this. Like, okay, well, I'm not going to buy you out. I'm not going to buy everything that you have. But every time I had an extra $60
you spend it on tracks.
I would say, hey, what do you got? What have you got, you know, in this color or this product? And so I'd buy $60 worth. It got to the point to where he was like emailing me, like, hey, I've got this much left. This is what I've got.
He was like a dealer.
Yeah, exactly. guys, I've got probably close to 900 bags of this stuff in my garage right now.
And how do you spell it? I mean, I'll eventually want to look it up. So how does it, T-R-A-X or T-R-A?
A-T-T-R-A-X-X.
So wait, you said A?
T-T.
Oh, Trax. Okay.
Yeah. R-A-X-X. And I will give y'all a pack of them if you want to. And I know I've said this before. I'm like, yeah, you know, Chris's tournament baits. This is the legit stuff that I've used for years and years and years. It doesn't shrink up on your hook. So you never have to put it inside of any juice.
Smells like garlic. To me, no, it smells garlicky.
It smells like Fremunda cheese.
All right. I can deal with that.
I'm not that cultured. I don't know what that smells like.
I can deal with
that. Bro, somebody please tell this dude what Fremunda cheese is.
Stinky cheese? We're talking about Parmesan? What are we talking about? Help me out here.
We're going to have to wait until this episode airs. In fact, the first person that can tell Drew what Fremunda cheese is gets a pack of baits. How about that?
Oh, hell. Don't. I'm going to have to. I'm gonna have to Google some stuff here in a second. All right, well let's get on to my number two. My number two is the Psycho Chicken Shad from Chicken Boy. I love the Psycho Chicken Shad. It is a lot like the Mantis Shrimp. It has the double tail. It actually has three fins coming off the double tail. I love it in Texas Roach, which is black top with the gold flake belly and the glow and chartreuse. Those are my two favorites. I actually caught all of my redfish this weekend. Well, not all of them. All of my sight casted redfish this weekend with that Psycho Chicken Shad from Chicken Boy Lures. So, Carlos, drum roll, number one.
It's a classic saltwater assassin in New Penny. Just a good old classic. We used to get packs and packs at the LSKS, and I was converted. So, yep.
Saltwater Assassin is just a great bait. I mean, you know, the guys that started using them in the bass world, you know, converted us saltwater guys over to them. You know, they were called bass assassins back in the day before they were ever saltwater assassins. And I think I'm may have mentioned that earlier. I can't remember.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
But yeah, they were.
Spoke about.
Yeah, before they were ever saltwater assassins, I was using them as just bass assassins. In fact, I might have a couple packs of those old ones sitting around. But anyway, great bait, man, for number one. I would definitely choose it if I didn't have already written down my number one.
Well, tell us that number one. It's your turn.
My number one just says Gulp.
There you
any
go.
Any kind of gulp?
I've got to restrict it to all gulp except Mantis shrimp.
Oh, come on now, man. You're missing out.
I hate those things. I can't
stand. You're missing out.
And we have to choose. Yeah, we have to keep it diverse. And we went for five, man. And I have to break my head. A lot of what I throw is gulp. So gulp would be my number. It'll be 1 through 5 in different options.
But
you're just kind of categorizing everything as number one. What's wrong with a Mantis shirt, man? It just works.
Oh God, I just get. That's also why I don't throw a lot of grubs either, because after about 4 or 5 casts, then you're just throwing a little grub,
and you still can get a fish.
You can, you really can, but it just messes with my psyche that I'm throwing a poodle turd out there.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, no, I kind of like this. Let's keep getting on Chris here the way you guys got on me about the Jackson Cooter. Let's get on him about these mantis shrimp and the swimming mullet and stuff like that. Chris, you're crazy. You need to be using them. They may not last as long, but I'm telling you, that is the slump buster, man. If you're not catching a fish, throw a mantis shrimp out there. You will catch something. Flounder love those things.
Love them.
I will say my favorite gulp is the 4-inch shrimp in New Penny.
Okay.
Well, that's like a big finger instead of a pink finger.
Yeah.
So it's funny because to me,
fish, Drew.
True that. Like if I go fishing and I'm just taking my tub of gulp and one rod, and I know with that I can conquer the world. But that 4-inch to me is just—it's like a hot dog. It's just a stick. Like I want something that just has a lot more flexibility.
Okay,
something that moves a little bit. So, I mean, Jesus.
Have you ever rigged a 4-inch gulp backwards?
Probably.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
I still don't know which way's the right way. I'm doing it backwards right now. Hell, I just see a little hole on the top, and I'm like, there's a circle on those 4-inch. I'm like, that's where my hook goes. Yeah.
So you can actually rig them backwards, and you can get a little bit more of a natural shrimp action out of them. Or, my real good friend Jason Calhoun that I've been tournament fishing with out of his boat this last year, he started to rig them with kale hooks, and I'm like, hold up, dude, that's not a, I've never seen anybody do that with a gulp. He's like, just hold up. Just watch this.
Watch this.
And sure as shit, he's pounding fish, rigging them with a kale hook. Literally, and I'm trying to animate this with my, like, there's the gulp shrimp, and bloop, just hooking it straight through the back. So when he's working it, that shrimp is kind of.
Oh, it's just. Yeah, just almost kind of jumping. That's interesting. Almost like, yeah.
Yeah, and okay. Chris just made the gesture like that 4-inch shrimp. If you guys could see my face right now, I look disgusted. But he made the gesture like that 4-inch shrimp was turning into a C and moving through the water like a natural shrimp.
We all know
swims.
That shit don't move.
Dude, your friend has got to be the strongest man in the world with like matrix skills to get those 4-inch shrimp to bend.
He's chopping it almost in half and adding some of those fabrics that you see on some other baits. Yeah, right. Like the, what is it?
The voodoo shrimp?
Yeah, the voodoo shrimp and that kind of thing. Maybe that's what they should do to that stick. But okay, well, I'll give it a shot, man. If it has your vote of confidence, I'm going to try it. And you tried mantis shrimp again. But
yeah,
just 5. You're going to need a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You are. You're going to need at least 2 packs. Every time you go, if the fish are biting.
That annoys the shit out of me, boys.
For sure. All right, let's get into this last top 5. Carlos said that he didn't have a lot of Netflix stuff that he wanted to talk about, but we wanted to throw something just kind of out there that was different on the show. So just give us your full top 5 from 5 to 1 on your Netflix shows.
Well, again, like I said, and I hate to be this guy, man, I don't watch much TV. So I'm just going to say that I've been hooked with, or was until I caught up with it, just Narcos. Narcos all day, every day. Any drug dealing, any narco, Netflix series. I want to watch it, but Narcos. I can binge watch that thing for 2 straight weeks, no problem. But then again, I just don't watch a lot of TV, so I'm gonna sit out. I'm gonna sit on this one and just kind of listen to your recommendations.
All right, Chris, let's hear your top five.
Number five, NCIS. You can watch any episode, anytime. Doesn't matter if you start at the beginning, the end, or the middle. NCIS is just a great cop type show, right? Crime scene investigation type show. Number four, I'm going to throw Blacklist out there. Blacklist is another one. It's kind of got all these really crazy twists. If you think you've figured it out, just wait. You haven't figured out anything yet. That's one that you have to start watching from the very beginning and watch all the way through to the very end. Number three, I'm actually looking through my list right now of everything that I've been
watching. Of your watch again on Netflix there? Yeah.
Number three, and I'm going to say number three is tied, okay? Number three is tied with two different shows. And the reason being is because I haven't finished one of them. Actually, it hasn't finished. Breaking Bad. Okay.
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 And Ozark. That's a classic. Ozark. That's another one. Everybody talks about Ozark.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to get into, and it's kind of tough to stay on top of, but it's really, really good. Number two, Dexter. If you have not seen Dexter, dude,
I knew it was big, but yeah.
Okay. This is nuts, okay? You will end up sympathizing with a serial killer. And you think that you're this tough guy that's like, oh, forget serial killers. You know, nah, this guy, Chris, like, touches your soul. He's like a serial killer he wants to befriend you, and he wants to be your pal at the neighborhood cookout, you know? Dexter's a really good one. And number one, guys, I've been talking about this on my Facebook page. I finish this probably every few months and I start watching it over again. The Office. I can't get enough of it.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, sorry. Okay.
I cannot get enough of it. Michael Scott is probably the most awesome character ever created in a sitcom, and Jim and Pam are probably the most cool couple I've ever known.
Cutest. You can say cutest. You can say
cutest. Can I say couple. That? They're the cutest
couple. You can say cute. Men can say cute. You can say cute as a man.
I really wasn't thinking cute. I was just thinking they were pretty awesome.
The Office, all day, every day, front to back, back to – it does not matter. It's just – yeah.
Can I make a confession? I've never seen a single episode of Dexter, and I've never watched an episode of The Office.
Oh, my God.
Well, you're missing out, dude.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know. I think Drew is sometimes way too serious for something like The Office.
That may be true. That may be true. I'm not a big comedy guy. I don't really watch a lot of – I watch a lot of comedy specials. But, like, the comedy specials that I watch – if you're religious at all, or if you get your feelings hurt at all, you probably can't watch any of the comedy specials that I might enjoy. And you guys couldn't see it, but Carlos was being serious. As Chris was saying these off, he was writing down notes on his paper over there.
Hey, kids got to go to bed before you start watching some of these.
I know, and sure. That's the danger with these things, right? It's like, I know, I've been there, and you get into it, and then you're stuck, and you start new chats with friends about it. It's just, and I'm afraid to get caught up by other things, you know, so going up. But yeah.
Michelle and I, what we do is we have a show that we're watching right now during dinner, okay? While we eat, because we have this routine where we go to the gym, you know, we spend an hour or two at the gym, and then we come home, we cook. And while we're cooking or while we're eating, we're watching something on the television. And right now we're watching Alone. And I don't know if you guys have seen that or not, but it's the survival thing, right? Yep. And we're really into that. So we're watching that while we're doing that. But once we wind down for bed, we always like to watch something while we're laying down in bed, getting ready to fall asleep. The Office is perfect because it's like 25-minute, 30-minute episodes. And by the time the melatonin kicks in, the episode's over.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what we watch. My wife and I, we watch The Office. Just our schedule with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, you know, we don't get the pleasure to go to the gym and then, you know, have dinner and watch TV as, you know, it's till 7, 8 p.m. And then she works late at home just doing her thing. And I get on these podcasts and some other things. But The Office, if we get a chance to go to bed together or we have a, it's not too late, a couple, you know, an hour or so of The Office and then just pass out. Yeah.
There you go. Great show. All right. So my top five, I don't know if anybody's watched any of these. They probably watched one or two, but my TV taste is a little eclectic, just like a lot of other things. But my number five is Lucifer. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show Lucifer. It is literally about the devil is on Earth and he owns a bar and he's befriended a detective and helps fight crime, but he is conflicted. He is conflicted because he is starting to gain humanity the longer he is on Earth.
It's so a girl that he actually like falls in love with a girl, doesn't he?
He cannot. Okay, so he can get anybody to tell them what their biggest desire is just by looking at them and saying, "Tell me your deepest desire," and then they'll spill out anything. Like they'll say, "My biggest desire is to become the greatest rapper ever," or "My biggest desire is to murder my ex-wife." Like, and he can just look at him. But with this lady that he's in love with, who's the detective, none of his techniques work on her at all. And it drives him crazy because she won't flirt with him. She won't tell him anything. And he is obsessed with trying to figure out why this detective will not go under his spell. But then he's conflicted because the longer he stays on Earth and he stays up here, the angels are trying to get him to go back down. The more human he gets, the more human emotions he gets. And then his demon friends are like, "What the hell are you doing? You're the devil. You're the king of hell. Like, you need to come back down and handle your business." So Lucifer is number five. And then number four, this is on Hulu. This isn't on Netflix. And I really like this show. We've talked about it before. Chris has told you guys that I'm a big wrestling fan and WWE fan with my son. And it's called Dark Side of the Ring. So it talks about some of the crazy things that have happened in the world of wrestling. Like, I don't know if any of you guys watch wrestling before.
When Ricky Dragon Steamboat got his windpipe crushed?
Not that, but you know when Owen Hart died falling from the top? It chronicles everything that happened during that sequence of time.
Whenever, so it's still a show, more like a documentary type.
It's very much a documentary. It follows Jimmy Superfly Snuka. You guys may not know this, but he was almost convicted of murdering his girlfriend. So it talks about that. So it gives you a bunch of behind the scenes on Conor the Dark Side of Wrestling. Isn't he the one that
crushed Ricky Dragon Steamboat's windpipe?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Yeah, so if you're into any kind of wrestling stuff, check that out. My number three, this probably isn't going to be surprising to some of y'all, is a series on Netflix called Taco Chronicles. And what they do,
man, he's good.
Yeah, what they do
on Netflix about tacos. Yes.
So it's a documentary type. But what they do is they take some of your favorite tacos like barbacoa and al pastor, and they show you where it originated, and they actually take you to the towns where it was first originated and shows you how it was originally made and the purpose for it. And I believe it's eight episodes.
The purpose of tacos is to eat them. That's the only purpose.
Oh, no, but you get so much in touch with the culture.
There you go.
Come for me, man. If you love food,
all and of then sudden, like, Carlos became
irreverent. Carlos popped up. He popped up quick.
Apparently, Carlos is aware of the Tacos Chronicles. Now, 100%, man. And you learn that El Pastor is such, you know, a Mexican thing, but it actually comes from Lebanon, and I mean, it's just great. It's great, and it's so well documented. I mean, the photography or the cinematography of it, it's great. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, the way it's edited. And
tacos.
Yes, dude. I'm telling you, you need to watch the series. You will be like, I need barbacoa right now. as soon as you see it. All right, number two is The Last Kingdom. I don't know if you guys have seen The Last Kingdom. It's kind of a Viking English.
The movie, The Last Kingdom, but not
what this is a it's a Viking English king type thing. If you like the show Vikings, you'll love that. And then my last one, my number one, is a show that's been on the air for 14 seasons. Me and Jessica have been watching it for a while, and it's called Supernatural. And it is kind of a cheesy,
horror. You are such a girl.
Dude, it's good. If you ever get into it, you will get sucked in. And again, there's angels, there's demons.
Nancy Pants, you.
There's the King of Hell. They have the script of God. There's archangels. There's vampires. There's gin. There's everything that you can think of in the supernatural world in this show. And then there's also the struggle between two brothers to keep their sanity and not take care of each other, but then take care of each other, but then not take care of each other, but then deal with daddy issues. There's so much going on in this show, and it is really great, and it is the last season. But I'm only on season 10, and there's 23 one-hour episodes per season. So it can take you months to finish this thing.
Drew, look, man, if you want to watch a girl's show, okay, if you want to get into these girly flicks, go watch GLOW, The Gorgeous Ladies
of Wrestling. I've watched a few episodes of that. I haven't watched the whole thing. I'll admit it.
It's an excellent, excellent recount of what's going on, or what happened back in the day whenever WWE and WWF at the time took a right-hand turn into ladies wrestling. And it's a fantastic account of what happened and how that all went down. It'll bring back some memories for you if you were a fan of GLOW.
I was not a big fan of GLOW, but you know what I am a fan of? I am a fan of this podcast. I mean, I have to be a fan. I mean, I'm on the damn thing. But I'm also, you know, I'm excited about where we're going with this thing, the future of the podcast. I'm excited for this top five series that we're doing. I think this was a great episode with a lot of information. I know we wanted to keep it to like 30, 45 minutes, and 2 hours later, here we are. But
well, we are wrapping things up, man. You know, did you have anything that you wanted to shout out to the listeners before we wrap things up here?
No, I mean, just wanted to thank you guys, first of all, for having me as a guest. I hope the crew enjoyed kind of the conversation here and our top five on the three different categories. But to all the listeners, thank you for supporting this amazing, amazing podcast and group of guys. They're here with a lot of heart for the people, by the people. So, thank you guys for doing what you do. And thank you, the audience, for supporting you guys.
Thank you for supporting us, man.
Yeah, the bro staff loves ACK. We talked about only going 30, 45 minutes there, Carlos. We talked for a while, but that was great conversation, and I think it brought a lot to the listeners. We're going to have Carlos on again, probably on the next episode, and we're going to talk about stand-up paddle boards for fishing. We're going to talk about our favorite rod and reel combos or favorite reels. And then we're also going to talk about, you know, our five activities that we really like to do outside of fishing. So you guys can get to know us a little more on that aspect. Chris, you got anything you want to leave the people with?
No way, man. Look, by the time this airs, the weekend will have already been over. Looks like we're going to have to cancel or reschedule our meetup. But guys, keep an eye out on the Facebook page, because we're going to plan something again real soon. Heck, Red October's coming up, baby. You can't fish October. I mean, you can't get out. You can't have October without some fishing.
There you go. So for Drew and Chris, we thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
See ya.